We just thank the Lord that He has made a way for us to be together and to serve Him at such a time as this. Amen. All right, our text for today will be taken from the Old Testament, the book of Psalm, and we will be looking at a fairly short psalm. We won't finish it today. As a matter of fact, we'll barely scratch the surface of it today, but I want to begin taking a look at Psalm 4 for the next 2 or 3 weeks. So if you could turn there, and you know it's our custom, if you're physically able to stand, I'd ask you to stand and let's honor God while I read these 8 verses audibly in your hearing. Psalm 4, beginning at verse 1. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? Selah. Verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your hearts on your beds and be silent. Selah. Verse 5. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. And finally, verse 8. In peace I both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Amen. Amen. Father, we are so privileged and thankful to have a right, a living and vibrant relationship with you. We are so thankful to be reconciled to you and to be at peace with you. Thank you now for having the living word open before our eyes. And yes. Holy Spirit, we call upon you now. We need your help. As we attempt to discern from your word what you would have for us today, meet us now in this assembly. Come now, commune with us. Come now, dwell with us. Be free among us, Lord. Speak. We are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. You may be seated. Our subject for today is when trouble follows you to the bedroom. When trouble follows you to the bedroom. Now, Psalm 4 is what you would call a nighttime psalm. It's written by David to help us understand some of the struggles he was having at night, all right? Keep that in mind. We're only going to scratch the surface on it today, but I want us to dig a little bit deeper and see some of the help I believe that God provides us for our own struggles at nighttime. Now, you might remember in the Bible, the day was typically the best time for work, yeah, or travel or activities where you needed light. Amen. Right? You remember Jesus once said, work while it's day, yeah, right? Because night is coming when what? No man can work, right? He also gave the analogy of people that travel. He says, you do your travel and your activities in the daylight, because when it's dark, when it's night, you stumble over things. Okay, so day in the scriptures is typically a time for work and activities such as that. Nighttime, then, on the other hand, was typically best for resting.
Yeah.
And sleep and recovery, because you have to remember that centuries ago, people worked from, and even in my generation, that literally we worked from what? Sun up to what? Sun down. Yeah. There was a reason for that, mm-hmm. right? We needed the daylight.
Amen.
And so when the sun goes down, that was a time that we could rest and recover and get prepared for what? The next sunrise, okay? So keep that in mind as we attempt to investigate what we have here. Trouble in life is inevitable, yes?
Amen.
It's inescapable for who? For everyone.
That's right.
Everyone, Jesus said to believers, to disciples, there's no reason for us to be naive enough to think that when we come to Christ, that means that all trouble now is gone. No.
That's right.
For the Christian, we actually accrue different kinds of trouble when you come to Christ, right?
Amen.
In this world, Jesus says, you will have trouble. You will have tribulations. Paul said it as he wrote to the church at Corinth, there's no temptation that has overtaken you except that which is what? Common.
Yes.
It's common.
Yes.
We're all going to face it.
Yes.
And so you and I don't sit here today thinking that there's something that we can do to escape trouble.
No.
It's going to happen. Okay, and so we want to talk about that in the next few weeks. Trouble affects all areas of all aspects of life. In other words, trouble affects individuals. It affects us personally. Trouble also affects families. It can affect what? The whole household. Trouble affects businesses. Trouble gets inside businesses and causes all kinds of chaos and issues, right? Trouble affects schools. And this is nothing new. You know this. I mean, are anybody with their eyes open today? We see trouble everywhere, right? Trouble affects churches over and over and over. That's nothing new to you. Trouble affects cities and states and countries and continents. Trouble affects every area
Amen.
Of life. No area is sacred. No area is off limits. Yes?
Amen.
So we're just starting all together. And so I hope that when we talk about this, you're not sitting around thinking about somebody else. Since it affects what? All of us, you need to be thinking about yourself, right? Each one of us needs to be thinking. And that's what I had to do when I dealt with this, okay? And the thing is that trouble is invasive. Trouble doesn't ask you, can it come in? Right? And trouble is no respecter. It disregards gender. Trouble doesn't respect you because you're weak. Or you're young, and it's no respecter of what? Of age, and you know this. Your education doesn't make you immune to trouble.
Amen.
Trouble affects the most brilliant of people.
Yeah.
Right? Health. Trouble affects healthy people.
Yes.
Trouble affects wealthy people.
Yes.
Yes? Your past doesn't make you resilient to trouble. Regardless of how you may have escaped it in the past, you may think you're slick,
all right.
But trouble is slicker.
That's not
good grammar, but you understand. Our past does not make us immune to trouble, right? Or our present.
That's right.
You may think you've learned, and I hope I've learned something in these 70 years. But that still doesn't mean I'm not going to have trouble.
That's right.
Yes?
Amen.
And if I live to get 71 or 72 or 70, I hope I learn, but I still will not have learned enough to avoid what?
Trouble.
Not
Amen.
Happen. And so the issue that I want to drill down on today is that trouble is no respecter of location.
Amen.
Or time.
Amen.
So there's no time during the day when you are protected from trouble. And that's what I'm going to get at in the next few weeks.
Just because you carved out time and planned to do something doesn't mean that trouble won't visit you.
That's right.
Trouble visits you on vacation.
Yes. Yeah.
You didn't go on vacation for trouble, but trouble knew where you were going. Yes?
Yes.
Trouble was actually riding with you. Huh? You might have been taking the trouble.
That's right.
We're just being real now.
It's real. It's real.
Yes?
Yeah.
So this we start with that point by ensuring that trouble is extremely invasive and no respecter of any position in life. Okay. We're good? So, I want to talk about these two topics of interest, and then we'll be done for today. We'll pick it up next week, okay? Today, I want to introduce this to you, and I want to talk about how trouble followed David. And then we're going to look at David's, at least his initial response to trouble. We'll be looking at his response for the next couple of weeks at least. So I want to look at trouble as it followed him. And then I want us to try to relate that to our own lives. And then we look at David's response to trouble. And then I want us to try to relate that to our own lives. That's true, right? The Bible says that God has given the scriptures so that we may... so that we may learn,
right?
Learn from the examples, from the things that are there. All right, so let's dive in. Trouble followed David, even before he was an adult. When David was a youth, trouble. So I'm saying that's the reason. It's no respecter of your age. Young people, trouble finds you too. Yes. So before he was an adult, David experienced trouble in his family. Y'all remember when God had sent Samuel to look for the second monarch of Israel, right? You know, Saul had been brought forth as the king of the people, right? The king that the people wanted, and God... having revealed his heart now, sent Samuel out to get a king who will be a man after God's own heart.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So you remember when he went to Jesse's family there and David's family and the father brings all of the older, the best looking or the better, you know, what he considers to be the better equipped sons for what? Kingship. David was not even under consideration by his what? Own father. Because when Samuel said, "Is this everyone?" he said, "Well, David's out there, but he's just a youth. All he knows how to do is tend sheep." So he was misjudged by his own father. The father didn't see the worth in him, didn't see the value in him, didn't see. And this is the thing. That you have to understand about trouble. People can be troubling to you because they can't see like God sees.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
His father was looking on what? Outward appearance. God what? Looks at the heart. So sometimes when the family members bring trouble, you think they would see differently, but they can't. And I'm not excusing it, I'm just saying. So we shouldn't be shocked sometimes when we find family members are the ones that are the most, that cause us the most trouble. Yes.
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 Yeah.
We're just talking to him.
It's real.
It's real. And his own brother, y'all remember that? 2 Samuel 16 was with, as he dealt with his father. Y'all remember 1 Samuel 17 when Israel was there, set up camp. Trying to fight the Philistines, do you remember that? And so Goliath, this giant, is walking around taunting Israel. David shows up, right?
Yeah.
And his brothers despise him because here he is, a little wet behind the ear boy, a youngster. But here he is. All of these men, these macho men, are trembling. And here's this shepherd boy coming, telling us that he can take care of Goliath. And his brothers despise it for being courageous. Right?
Amen.
Trouble even from his own brothers. David experienced trouble in nature before adulthood. You remember when he was there in 1 Samuel 17, he was there and Saul was quizzing him about why he thought he could handle Goliath. You remember he told him, he says, well, when I was a shepherd tending my father's sheep,
yeah,
I had to deal with lions and bears.
Yes, he did.
And I put him down.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. I put him down. And so this Goliath, I'm not afraid of this Goliath. The same God that gave me victory,
amen,
with the lions and the bears will give me victory with Goliath. And so
right,
he knew he'd had trouble in nature, but he didn't run from it.
Sure,
right? David had experienced trouble with his enemies.
Yes.
And here, that's what I'm saying. Here in 1 Samuel 17, the enemy is the Philistines, and in particular, their hero, who was Goliath. And so even before he's an adult, here he is. God is helping him face his enemies. And y'all know the story, right?
Amen.
They all had their weaponry and all of their defensive armory that they were using. And David said, I can't go with that. It don't fit me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing. I don't want to digress here too much, but my brother, my sister, you need to know what fits you for your trouble.
Amen.
Amen.
Stop trying to outfit your way to the way somebody else handles trouble.
That's,
you gotta learn how to handle your trouble. Mm-hmm. Yes?
That's right.
So you know, this is the story there. He faced Goliath with what God had given him, the slingshot and a stone. Yes?
Amen.
And God gave him victory. So that's, I wanted you to see that he experienced trouble before he was an adult. But David also experienced trouble as an adult. Y'all remember he experienced trouble from King Saul, yes?
Yeah.
Having been sought out because he was a skilled musician, and then he goes in to help Saul, who's having these strange kind of a mental attack and anxiety attacks. And David is brought in to play soothing music that can calm him down. And then you know that King Saul reached the point to where he thought David was his enemy.
Amen.
He was attempted to kill him. Then became jealous of him because David was being victorious in war. Yes, and so he had real trouble. He became a fugitive. King Saul drove him out, made him become a fugitive.
Amen.
All because of this man who's attempting to do God's will. So he has experienced trouble with King Saul. He experienced trouble from his family members. I'm just trying to paint this picture for you.
Amen.
You remember David was a polygamist. Polygamist means that he had more than what? One wife. He had several wives, and those wives caused him some trouble. Y'all might remember one of his wives was a Saul's daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Michael or something like that. And y'all remember David was bringing the ark. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Bringing that back to Jerusalem, and they said he danced with all his might. And there the king was, the mighty king out there, parading himself before the Lord. And she looked at him and despised him. And so he knew that would come from family members. Trouble can come from right in your house. And he, his children, of course, you know, with these several wives, he had children by what? Several wives. And there was problems between these children, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember, I think the one son's name was Amnon. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And Amnon, son by one mother, then raped Tamar, the daughter by another mother, right?
Right.
And so you got this rape going on between his children, and then the brother, Absalom of Tamar, determined that he was going to get revenge.
Mm-hmm.
So he kills him, right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, Absalom then becomes a problem child.
Yes,
eventually, which we're going to get to here, Absalom becomes a major problem for David. So he experienced trouble from family members. He experienced trouble for enemies. In Psalm 69, he lays out all of these cases. Enemies all around him, Because you know he was a man of war, and when you become a man of war, you become a target, particularly when you're having victories.
Yeah.
Right. Even when you're fighting on the Lord's side, you ever read those songs? Whose side are you fighting on?
Right.
Fighting. Even when you're fighting on the Lord's side, you make plenty of enemies.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he had many enemies. And then I listed it out just to kind of drive it home. I believe that David had trouble from within.
Oh yeah.
David had his own. He had a conflict going on inside. And what I mean by that is that y'all remember the time when he should have been out in the battle.
All right.
And he stayed home, right?
Yes, he did.
And saw this woman bathing.
We got another quote, sorry.
So he eventually committed what?
Adultery.
With Bathsheba.
Yes,
you know, that conflict going on inside of him. Yielded to what? Temptation.
Temptation.
And then once he started started down that spiral, now committed adultery, she gets pregnant. Now he's trying to cover it up with the husband of that story.
Yeah.
So then commits murder, sends the husband out to the front line to have him murdered. And so you see these areas of trouble for David. Trouble from the king. Trouble from his own family members. Trouble from enemies. Trouble from inside himself. And today, I particularly want to paint the picture that I believe we're specifically looking at in Psalm 4. And then we'll extract a few points from it and we'll be done. So can you, you got your Bible? I just want to read Psalm 3. It's a short psalm. Just for you to get the perspective of what's happening here. In Psalm 3, we see David as a fugitive. He had to leave his throne. His own son, Absalom, has gained the popularity of the people. And now his own son drives him from the throne. This is the king on the run from his own son, who's caused the coup, who's basically decided Absalom wants to be king, and I'm going to take it from my dad. That's basically the issue that we have. And so David's on the run as a fugitive, and you got the Psalm 3. Let's look at it. Matter of fact, if your Bible has a heading on it, it probably says that. Mine says when he fled from Absalom and his son. I don't know what it says. Does it? Okay. So, you ready? Oh Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. You see? That's what it feels like when the trouble is really heavy. Folks talking about you.
Amen.
You used to be. You thought you were this and you thought you were that. Look at you now.
Mm-hmm.
You get it? All of us know how that feels when you're in trouble. Verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me.
Oh, yes.
My glory and the lifter of my head.
Oh, yes.
I cried aloud to the Lord and he answered me from his holy hill.
Oh, yes.
I lay down and slept. I awoke again for the Lord sustained me. I'm doing it again.
Yes.
Every day I get up because the Lord kept me.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Not my alarm system, not my locks or my doors. Not the medication that I took, and not the this and that. It's the Lord who kept me.
That's right.
Get it? When you're in trouble, that's when you realize that. Nothing is working.
Nothing is working.
But God.
But God.
Yes?
Yes.
Verse 6, look at it now. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people, Selah. Is that good?
Yes.
That's a man on the run there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a man in trouble.
Oh, yes.
And what I want to talk to you about is I want you and I to be able to handle our trouble like
all
that.
All right, now.
I'm not talking at you because I got my own trouble.
Amen.
And I want to be able to handle them like
yes,
that, too.
Yes, yes, Lord.
Don't have to lie.
We're
not walking around saying, I don't claim this and I don't claim that. No, no, no.
No.
Dealing with reality.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes?
Yes.
God has prepared that for us.
Yes, He has.
That's the reason He leaves these examples.
Amen.
Yes.
To know how to handle trouble. And I'm particularly, I ain't made it there yet, but I'm telling you, when trouble comes in your bedroom, that's a serious deal.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got trouble on the job and trouble here, trouble in the church, trouble. But when it comes to your bedroom,
yes.
Nowhere to hide, man.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So regardless of your age, regardless of your gender or your position in life, trouble may be following you today. May be following you to school. Trouble may be following you to work. Trouble may be following you to church. Trouble may be following you to the movie, to the this place or that place, but trouble also may find itself at your home, affecting your time of rest and sleep.
Yeah.
That's where we're going.
Amen.
You must handle trouble God's way for God's deliverance.
Amen.
We good? Because we're all going to have to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully I've convinced you of that.
Oh, yeah.
You may be doing all right now, but don't think it's going to stay that way.
Yeah.
That's the reason I like to refer to life as a roller coaster.
That's what it is.
Remember that? Mm-hmm. Paul said, I've learned. Pastor Barry talked about contentment earlier on. Paul said, I've learned to be content.
That's right.
Those times when I've had a lot. Those times I've had very little. Yeah.
That's right. Amen.
Don't you think that because you got a lot right now, it's going to stay there?
That's right.
Yeah.
Or just because you got very little right now, I don't think it's going to stay there.
All right.
Yeah. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
It's roller coaster.
Very good.
Yes.
Why? So I can learn.
That's it.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on the way it looks like it's looking right now. Because there are times you're going to have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and learn to what?
Yes, Lord.
Fear no evil.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Oh, it's easy to say that verse.
Oh, you say it good.
But you've got to learn to walk through the valley and fear no evil what? Yourself.
That's right.
And until you have walked through the valley, all you can do is read the verse. The verse sounds good.
Yes, it does.
But when the verse becomes real,
there
it is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then you learn your lesson.
Yes.
Amen.
We're just talking real now.
It's real.
Okay. So, hopefully I've convinced you that trouble followed David, and hopefully I've convinced you that trouble follows you.
Oh, yes.
So, the last thing we want to look at today is David's response to trouble. And again, we're just going to crack it open a little bit. We'll go a little bit further next time, all right? So don't get frustrated because I didn't get to your favorite part today. It's just be patient. We're working our way there, right? Everybody got their favorite verses, and the preacher don't talk about my favorite verse. It wasn't a good sermon. But that's all right. Just hold on. So let's look at David's response to trouble. And essentially all we're going to do today is look at verse 1, all right? David's response to trouble. And hopefully you can see in verse 1 that his response is prayer. And I want to tell you that's the first place to start.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the first place to start. Don't make prayer your last resort.
Amen. Amen.
That's the first place
first
to start.
First place.
Stop your hustling. Stop all of your plans and your scheming. You need to, the first place you need to go is to God.
You said it
right.
When you're in trouble. Yes?
Lord, yes.
So, the thing about it, Psalm 4, look at verse 1. Look at the very first sentence in Psalm 1. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Mm-hmm. Right? So what I'm saying to you is that the first thing about prayer when you're in trouble is that you need to learn to reverence God.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless of the crisis that you're in, God is always worthy of honor and worship and praise and prayer.
Yes, sir.
Always.
Always.
Whatever the issue is,
Amen.
God is always worthy.
Always worthy.
Yes?
Yes.
Here's what I want you to see. Our urgent needs don't change God's character.
Amen.
He remains what? The same.
Yes.
Isn't that what makes it so good? That's the reason we call him a firm foundation.
Yes.
When I'm shaking, God is not.
Oh, no.
When I'm reeling and rocking, God is not. When I fall down, I fall on the what? The solid rock.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the deal.
Yes.
That's the God we trust in.
Amen.
Doesn't matter my trouble. I'm going to get to this in a minute. Because yeah, my trouble does get me down.
Oh, yes, it does.
But when I fall on the rock.
Yes.
Is
that any good?
Yes?
Yes.
So God is always worthy of honor and prayer.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And be careful with your emotions.
All right.
Just like Job. You read through the book of Job and you see Job doing a whole lot of complaining.
Oh, yeah.
Yes?
Yes, he did.
But when God finally responds to him, so he asked Job just a few questions that put him in his place.
It sure did.
All Job could say is, I spoke out of turn.
Uh-huh.
And there's a whole lot of us speak out of turn when you're hurt. We need to remember that God is still worthy. To be reverenced.
Oh, yes, he is.
Yes, Lord.
Don't start that ugly talking with God.
Come on now.
We got theology teaching people to do ugly talk.
Well,
with God.
Jesus.
Don't you go there?
No.
God is patient. I thank God for that.
Mm-hmm.
But don't presume.
Say it.
Don't presume on him.
Amen.
When you're in trouble, begin with the fact that God is worthy of reverence.
Amen.
God alone, because here's what I want you to see here. I see this in this one statement, because he referred to God as the God of my righteousness, you see?
Uh-huh.
So when you begin to pray, you need to recognize that the only reason that you have a right relationship with God is because of God himself.
That's it.
If God had not made a way, you wouldn't have a right relationship
Amen.
With God.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes?
Amen.
If God had not decided with Adam and Eve that he was going to make a way to redeem us, we'd still be lost.
Yes.
Everyone in this room would have hell as a destiny.
Amen.
Yes.
But God decided.
Yes, Lord.
Remember how did Paul say it to you? At the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it's because of him that we are in Christ.
Yes.
It's because of him.
Yes.
And Christ has become to us wisdom.
Yes.
And righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Yes, that's it.
Christ has become right. Christ is my righteousness.
Yes,
you know how the old songwriter said it? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and what?
That's right.
His righteousness.
Yeah.
It's all right.
So I always come to God in reverence. Come to God in reverence because He's the source.
Yes. Yeah, so.
Think of how awful life would be when you're in your trouble and there's no way to go. That's the reason the world had hurt so much.
Yes.
And I was the same
trouble, I get high.
All right.
I'm in trouble, I race over here, I'm chasing after this thing, and sex over here, or this thing over here, you see?
Mm-hmm.
It's all fake.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And nothing changed, you see? But when God comes, and he finally brings us out of darkness, what? Into his marvelous light. Now I can see.
Yes.
I can see that's not going to help me.
That's right.
The same God who saved me now, all of my help comes from him.
Yes.
And so I don't mean to belabor this, but I just this is really, I believe that this is the phase of life for us now.
Yes.
Trouble. We kind of talked about that in Bible study this morning. It hasn't visited us in America like it has many other places, but you need to open your eyes.
Say it good.
There's things that God has been telling us this for centuries.
Yes, he has.
And they're happening in our own generation.
Yes, sir.
Yes?
Yes, sir.
And so David's response and our response should be prayer to God in reverence.
Yeah.
The next thing I see here is what I call prayer with confidence.
All right.
Right? And I see that in the second sentence. You got the second sentence in verse 1? You have given me relief when I was in distress. You see? Now you wonder, well, Brother Willie, where do you get confidence from there? I want you to see that regardless of the crisis that you're facing, you got to remember that God's faithfulness, you remember God's faithfulness in your past.
Yes.
Right? So you wouldn't be able to handle your present situation if God hadn't brought you through the past.
Amen. Yeah, that is right.
Right?
Right.
Amen.
So the Christian always needs to not get so bogged down with your present that you can't remember what you've already come through.
That's
Amen.
Right. Amen. Amen.
So why, Brother Willie? Because we need hope when we're hurting.
Yes.
We all need hope when you're hurt.
Yes.
Now hope builds confidence.
Yes, it does.
And again, God's going to make sure that you don't get resolution from all of your props. All of the things that might have propped you up before, God's going to bring trouble so that none of those props
that is so true.
Can help.
None.
And anybody that's still leaning on those props, trust me, they're going to be kicked out.
You're preaching the truth now.
Because when trouble gets to your bedroom, there ain't no props in it.
No.
You understand what I'm saying? If it made it to your bedroom, nothing worked.
Nothing worked.
That's the reason it's in your bedroom. You can't get from. You can't get away from.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? And God is determined for every Christian to learn and deal with problems in your bedroom.
You said it good.
So he keeps pressing. Because what I mean is we don't always respond right to trouble.
That's true.
I'm just being real.
That's true.
We all got kind of our way that we handle
it. Oh yes.
And God has to kick those props out.
He sure does.
Because a lot of times we want to take care of the problem before we even have to let it for anybody to find out.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You see, what I'm talking about here, God is going to bring trouble that everybody knows.
Everybody knows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about.
You're right, I'm sorry.
Right? And so we've got to learn to pray with confidence
even when it's hard. Now this is really important. You back look at the second sentence in verse 1. You have given me relief when I was in distress. That's an important Hebrew term there. In distress. Let me show you something.
This is so good.
It is good.
Let me
show you something.
In distress in the Hebrew means a tight spot.
Yeah.
You get it? A narrow place.
Very good.
And all of us can relate to that. You been in some tight spots?
Very. Amen.
Got a whole lot of them when I was a heathen, but I've been in some tight spots since I've been in some.
Amen.
Amen.
As a Christian, God sends you to tight spots.
Yes, He does.
I believe our brother Ernest mentioned this a little while back. But when you read Hebrews and you see that Jesus learned from what? The things
he suffered.
Mm-hmm. Learned obedience. I mean, that's the way it says specifically. He learned what?
Obedience.
From the things he suffered.
Yes, he did.
From the tight spots he was in.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you really think you and I would avoid tight spots? That's how we know.
That's right. You said it good.
Not to depend upon ourselves.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Not to trust your money. Not to trust, you know. What's the, not to trust your credit score.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I know that's right.
They got apps now that are going to improve your credit score.
Yeah.
Stop it.
So you got a good credit score. You can have your financial problems. God's going to deal with that.
No, He doesn't.
You see, it's a challenge in America because we let those spoiled children.
That's what we are, man.
Yeah. So God has to lead us to these tight spots.
Amen. Mm-hmm. The preacher.
You remember we talked just a week or two ago about with your back against the wall?
Right.
Well, that's the same kind of thing here. Uh-huh. When your back's against the wall or when you're in a tight spot.
Yes, Lord.
That means nothing else is right.
That's right.
Because if it would have worked, you wouldn't be in the tight spot.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah. Get it?
Amen.
And so when you pray, you need to remember some of the tight spots you've been in and how God brought you out.
Amen.
You remember that old song of, I think it's Andre, Through It All?
Yes.
I've what?
Learned.
What?
To trust in Jesus.
Learn
to trust in God.
But it's through it, right? You got to go through it.
Through it.
You can't keep running from your tight spot.
Mm-hmm.
I know this ain't one of them comfortable kind of sermons, but this is real. This is real. Yes?
It's real.
Real life. God has delivered every believer in here out of tight spots.
Amen.
And David said it, I think it's Psalm 18, where he says, God has delivered me and put me in a broad place.
Yes.
You see, that's what he's saying there. You took me out of the what? The tight spot.
Yes.
And you put me in a broad place.
Amen.
That's when you can appreciate what God is doing.
Amen.
And no way I could have got out of that.
No way.
So that's the confidence you can have with prayer. And then the last thing I see here is that there needs to be prayer for mercy.
Yes.
And keep this in mind. God is never obligated to remove your suffering.
No.
And this theology that's going around now that makes you think you are so... Why would Christians believe that we are above suffering when Christ himself says, if they did it to me...
He said that.
Right?
He said
that. If the Son, who had no flaw,
none.
There was no perfection in him, he said nothing in error, nothing sinful, and if he suffered more than any human being, what would cause us to think?
Come on now, from the Son.
Amen. Right.
And then what would cause us to think God is out? He didn't deliver his own son.
Right.
He sure did.
Why? Because he had purpose in the suffering.
Yes.
And what you and I have to understand is that there's purpose in our suffering.
Amen.
Preacher.
And when the purpose has been when the purpose for Jesus' suffering was accomplished, he said, what? It is finished.
It's finished.
Oh,
that's right.
I hear you, Lord. And so when I'm talking about mercy here, you don't go to God like he's obligated to get you out of your spot.
All right, now.
Because in many cases, I got me in the spot.
That's right.
Yes?
Yes. Yes.
True.
Yes.
Decisions that I made, things that I did.
Yes.
Or didn't do, is what got me in the tight spot.
That is right.
And so now for me to sit here as if God is obligated to get me out of the spot. You see the problem with that the other day. So I need mercy.
I need mercy.
Mercy means, God, I need you to help me in my mess.
That's it.
It's not a mess that you created.
No.
It's a mess that I created, and I need
help. Your mercy.
So here's the deal. A believer must seek help and relief in humility.
There it is.
You understand?
Amen.
Seek help. Seek relief. But do it in humility. How does Romans 12:3 says it? Cautions us not to think more what?
Highly.
That's right. Of yourself than what? You ought to think.
Amen.
So in my suffering, I can't get high-minded.
No.
That's called arrogance and pride. Yes?
Yeah.
And trust me, God knows how to deal with arrogant, prideful children.
Arrogant myself.
Philippians 3, remember? Let this mind, this attitude be in you that was what? Also in Christ Jesus. Goes on to talk about how he did not consider equality with God thing to be grasped, but he what? Humbled himself?
Yes, he did.
Humbled?
Humbled.
Continues to show you how he took on things that you and I would consider to be debased.
Yeah.
Allowed them. God himself to be treated as a drunk. The Bible said he was mutilated. He was beaten more than any human being has ever been beaten.
Jesus.
His face was unrecognizable.
Yes.
Didn't even look like a man.
Amen.
And you and I feel like we don't have to, there's no need for us to suffer. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So we when we ask for relief, it has to be in humility.
Amen.
Amen.
If the perfect Lamb of God suffered, and I'm following him in this fallen, corrupted world, why would I think that I won't have to deal with some suffering? Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yes. Yes.
Therefore, a believer always needs mercy. In suffering. All right. Well, you know, I thought this was going to be a really, 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 really brief sermon. I don't know how long it's been, but I tried. I got the juices flowing there a little bit too much, so y'all pray for us.
Yes, we need it.
We'll keep pressing on next week. So let's kind of wrap it all up, brothers, sisters, friends, all that are here. We must prepare ourselves for the troubles that God will either bring, send, or allow to come to our doorsteps. God will either bring trouble to your doorstep or allow it to come there. But then you got to be ready for the trouble that he not only lets come to your doorstep, you got to be ready for the trouble that he lets come in the front door or the back door. And I'm particularly coming to the kitchen, but I'm particularly concerned about the trouble that makes its way to the bedroom. Okay? We must prepare ourselves now before trouble comes, because there's nowhere to hide when it comes.
No.
Even when you thought it just came in the front door, you can run to your bedroom. God's going to send trouble to your bedroom.
Amen.
You can't sleep it off. And if trouble has already come to your house, then you know that trouble does not leave you alone simply because you're in misery. Trouble don't leave your house just because you're hurting. Just because you're in pain, trouble doesn't leave your house. Trouble doesn't leave your house just because you're lonely or because you're weeping and crying. Trouble doesn't leave your house just because you got all your favorite TV shows on and you're trying to get lost in TV. Trouble doesn't leave your house because you enjoy video games. Trouble doesn't leave your house because you bury yourself in work. Trouble doesn't leave your house because you turn to your favorite comfort food. Trouble doesn't leave your house because you turn to drugs, whether legal or illegal. Trouble doesn't leave your house because you turn to sex, whether literally or vicariously. You understand what I'm saying? Whether you physically searching out sex to try to get rid of your trouble, or you turn to the internet or some other social media or movie.
Right. You said it.
Trouble's not going to leave your house. Because when it's all said and done, trouble is still there waiting for you.
Yes,
that's true.
To get done with the foolishness. You understand?
I understand.
And trouble's not going to leave your house just because you try to ignore it. I'm not fussing. Because I'm dealing with, we all have to deal with trouble. Yes? You cannot worry trouble away.
No.
Fear won't drive trouble away.
No.
Just because you're afraid, trouble's not going to leave your house.
No,
unbelief and doubt won't help you in times of trouble. No. Because you say you're weak and you don't understand, trouble's still going to stay in your house. When trouble is no longer just on KMOV, when trouble is no longer just on CNN, when trouble is no longer just on Facebook or Twitter, some other social media,
all right.
But when trouble is actually in your house,
that is something else.
When you're trying to sleep. When you're trying to get some rest,
yes. Yes.
What are you going to do?
Yes.
It's not a question of if trouble comes.
It's coming.
The only issue is when. Yes?
Yes. You're right.
When it happens. People are stocking up today.
They sure are.
And trying to get ready for the coronavirus. But for some people, the coronavirus has already visited their bedroom.
Yeah.
Do y'all believe that it's Christians? Some Christians have got the coronavirus?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just like Christians get the flu and other viruses.
That's right.
What you going to do? Yes? You're in a tight spot now.
Yeah.
People getting ready for the financial crisis and the ripple effects of this virus.
Right.
Or they trying to get ready. But what are you doing, my brother and my sister? Trouble is all around us. Seen and unseen. Amen? But God has not left us alone. God has not left us defenseless, even though trouble is everywhere. Right now, we sit in the midst of trouble. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Amen.
We were created. I want to tell you something. I've been waiting to get to this. Ooh, it's been a long time, though. I've been waiting to get to this. We were created for such a time as this. Do you believe
it? Right.
We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which He prepared beforehand. Do you believe that? Do you believe that we have been given the weapons to fight this war?
Oh, yes.
Do you believe that the warfare is going on inside your head?
Oh, yes.
The warfare is going on inside you.
Yes.
And the weapons of our warfare are what? Not of the flesh. But Paul gives divine power to tear down, to destroy strongholds.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yes.
We use this power to bring up every lofty thought and opinion, bring it down, and to take every thought.
Yes, Lord.
That's what happens if you get wrong.
Yes, Lord.
Wrong thinking. You need the word of God and the spirit of God to what? Corral your thinking.
Stand this
right.
That's where your weapons are.
That's where it's at.
You have to fight trouble with the word of God.
With the word of God. Stand good.
Because trouble is working. See, trouble works in all of your things. Trouble works in your possessions and your finances and your body. But the main thing the trouble wants to do is to get in your head.
Oh. Yeah.
Because if trouble can get you to thinking wrong, then trouble will get you to acting wrong.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We've been creating it for such a time as this. Paul said it this way. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed.
Yeah.
Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Why? Because we were created for this. Doesn't say we won't be afflicted or perplexed or persecuted or struck down. But God brings me out.
Yes, he does.
Paul said that he delivered me over and over again, and I trust him with the next one.
All right, man.
That's what we need to be, brother, sister.
That's
what we need to be. My brother, my sister, we can handle trouble in our bedroom when we're trying to rest and sleep. Our God has made a way. And we're going to journey down this road together in this song.
Yes,
it begins with prayer and trusting God, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that you ask or think.
Amen.
He's able. He's able to do that in prayer.
Yes.
He's able to prove to you that nothing is impossible with God. You've got to apply your sanctified mind. Let your mind be renewed by the word of God.
Yes, Lord.
So if you leave here today with just that much confidence, then we'll journey a little further next week. And if you're not a Christian, I just want to encourage you that you're in a tight spot right now. You're in a tight, if you're not a Christian, you're in the tightest spot in the world.
Amen.
And there's no way you can get out of that spot unless you come to Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, what?
And
the life. No one comes to the Father. There's no way you can get out of that tight spot, my friend, except through Jesus.
Amen.
Won't you come to him? Lord, I want to thank you for these few minutes that we had together. And ask you now, as we bow, to apply these truths to our lives and help us as we face trouble in every area and venue of life. Help us to face trouble in the grace and hope and strength of God. Help us, Lord, to learn how to pray and to find victory with everything that you bring or send our way in life. We ask this in Jesus' great name. Amen.
Amen.